Thank you for the invitation to come here today. My name is Ron Standiford. I was pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church, and I'd encourage you with the school that you're endeavoring to do, because as a small congregation familiar with that, God still does mighty, mighty things. And that was one of the most glorious aspects of our ministry with my wife and I, to be able to see him work and supply in things that we never thought possible. And so I'd encourage you as you continue along that journey, because you truly will be amazed at how the surprises that God gives will come to you. Well, today, when Patrick said, oh, you can preach on anything. So I said, well, I was thinking about that passage in John 21, you know, where Peter says, responds to Jesus' question of, do you love me? He says, well, not that one, because I'm going to preach on that today. So I chose this passage from Psalm 23. And basically what we're going to do is to see how God uses this term shepherd. The importance of the shepherd, as it came out this morning, actually, and what Wade was saying, the protection that God gives. And then also, when you see the glory of God, of how he runs after us, and how he desires to do these search and rescues in order to bring us to himself for a purpose to grow us, so that we're always changing. Think about this. We never are supposed to stay the same. We're supposed to grow in so many ways. And actually, Psalm 23 is really great for this. So I'd like to open with this Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The great thing about this text, first of all, is how God defines himself in this text. In your Bibles, if you have capital L, capital O-R-D, all uppercase, that's the personal covenant name of God, Yahweh. And it's the one that he told Moses to use when he goes before Pharaoh. Who shall I say sent me? Yahweh. I am that I am. That's what it means in Hebrew. I am. And so because then proclaims himself to be that way, what then does he commit himself to do in these search and rescue missions that he does through prophets and through others, in order to bring a people to himself? Well, let's go through some aspects of this, because the basic definition of a shepherd has to be one who is protective, one who is caring for out of compassion, to desire to serve and to teach, to give some spirit-directed guidance. Now, when David wrote this about 1,000 years before Jesus was born, here we have this question that God introduces into the scriptures to say, well, who is the shepherd? The I Am, Yahweh, the all-powerful God who has committed himself to you. And then what does he do? Well, the psalm goes through all these variety of situations in life in which God is growing us, in which he gives us tender care that we need. And we'll go through some of that in a moment. But first, what I want to do then is to then continue on in history. And we come to this time in this Micah's prophecy. Micah 5, verse 2. This is about 750 years before Jesus is born. And this is one reason why I brought up about the school, and just because you're little doesn't hinder what God's going to do. Because in this prophecy, God says that he's going to bring a ruler out of little Bethlehem. We often lose the little part. We'll go to Bethlehem, but we don't often think about, okay, God, you really did say little. And that's when he says, this ruler then is going to shepherd all of my people, Israel. And remember that name? The name that Jacob got when he wrestled with God, when he fought God. So whenever I see that term in scripture, I'm always thinking about, okay, so God, you're going to bring this leader, this ruler, out of little Bethlehem, who's going to have this spiritual directed guidance toward a group of people who are going to fight you. How would you like to have that job? But in reality, when we start to think about how God works in our lives, God is taking us in situations in which we're not born believing in him, unless it can be in the womb somebody's converted. But the whole issue is that there is the way in which God is providing for us. And so out of a despair, we then come to the point to be refreshed by the truth that our shepherd, this Yahweh, the I Am, who then comes in the flesh, then provides for us. And then let's fast forward, or let's go forward now from about 750 to BC to about 600. God's people have not been paying attention to the worship of the true God. Actually, in the scriptures, it said they weren't celebrating the Passover. They were giving themselves over to the worship of false gods. God has sent prophets, and so they change for a little while and then go right back to it. Because remember, Israel, one who fights with God, they're living up to that name. And as a result of that, then God has the Babylonians come down and take the people, sack Jerusalem, take the people back to Babylon. And that's where then, according to the book of Daniel, when he's a part of this as well, that then God is sustaining his people in this situation by then giving them the opportunity to say, you don't want me? Okay, then I'll upend you and put you in this culture that you say you want. And I often think about how then those who truly were believers, Daniel being one, but there was this priest, Ezekiel, similar situation. And he says at the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, he's basically saying, well, when I was seated in this water canal, God is the one who opened the heavens and allowed me to see into heaven. And then he gave me these words to say, and he gave me how he told me to stand up, that he was going to speak to me. And then he told me what message I was to give the people who are now in exile in Babylon. And part of what he's doing in Ezekiel is that this priest then, who is given these words by God to say to the people, to see, okay, who's going to respond to these words? Well, one of them is about the shepherd. It's almost a very similar repeat to what we have in Psalm 23. But this is where then God says in Ezekiel 34, beginning with verse 11, thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. And as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep, when they have been scattered, so I'm going to seek out my sheep. And I'll rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I'll bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I'm going to take them into their own land. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I'll seek the lost. I'll bring them back and stray. And I will bind up the injured. I'll strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I'll feed them justice. Okay, let me explain to you what this terminology is about the fat ones that God is going against. They're the ones who aren't paying any attention to the worship of God and instructing people in the ways of God and what God is like. But instead, they're about shepherding themselves. They're about making sure that they're well fed off of these pastures. And in fact, the text goes on to say, they're basically running off my sheep because they're the ones who want to take it. They're bullying God's sheep in order that they'll be able to have it. They even say, and then you bring your dirt, your dirty feet, and you stand in the water so the water is spoiled for everybody else, for my people. So that's when God basically says, well, here you've trodden with your feet and drank what you have muddled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God. Don't you love these presences that God gives about himself when he says, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean ones. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad, but I will rescue my flock. They're no longer prey to you, and I will judge between the sheep and the sheep. So now we've got Ezekiel in this place, the worship of other gods. Yes, Daniel has been faithful to worship God in front of the window, and that really has been, his faithfulness is honored as a result of that. Ezekiel is at work there as well. And so we find how God is proclaiming himself and bringing encouragement, bringing help to say, I'm looking for the ones who are mine and I'm going to bring them to myself. And the ones who are trying to keep them from coming to me with false information about other gods, I'm going to judge them and they will not have any power to be able to do it. And so then, when I think about then applying this to life, and then I begin to think, and maybe you too, about people that God brings in order for you to realize who Yahweh is, the majesty, the glory, the power that he has, the way that he works in people's hearts to do things that you would never think possible. But the way that he is so intimately concerned with you and I being fed spiritually, but then also being comforted in this lying down in grass, in the ways in which then he provides for us this peace and this intimate relationship with himself. We can lie down and be at rest because God is the one who has conquered our enemies. Because God is the one who has conquered sin and death through the finished work of his Son. What was fascinating to me also about this is Currently, I'm chaplain at Glen Meadows Retirement Community. Hence, I'm dressed like this because I go there for worship services that I do there. But one thing that, and I've done Bible study at Edenwald for years, because the first church that I went to, it was a large church and a variety of ministries, worked with a college group, missions program, and then they started a ministry to the seniors and they wanted me to do it. Okay. Well, it turned out then that I began to see the compassion that was needed to minister to them and how much they loved to have somebody younger around them. And then that became one of these ways in which I began to see, they kept telling me, you know, I've been in churches all my life, but I've never been in a Bible study. And so I think, well, isn't that a role of a shepherd? To teach, to be able to lead, spiritually guide. And so that kind of opened up a door so that when I left pastoral ministry and had been doing Bible studies in retirement communities, that now then this was going to be a full-time job, which it is. But the interesting thing is the persons that you meet and the stories that they tell about how God has been working in their lives, and they haven't really understood how it fit in with Scripture or how they have ignored God and then how he's been working in order, they think and see, to bring them back to worship him and him alone. One significantly stands out, and that was the woman who was the principal at Woodburn Junior High School who combated Madeline Murray O'Hare because he was the one, because his mother did not want prayers in public schools. That principal, Dorothy Duvall, was one who was a Unitarian. She and her mother, she lived with her mother, and she then was Unitarian Universalist, didn't really know or understand who the true God was, the person and work of Jesus. And then what was fascinating was in that school, God planted a Christian woman who was the biology teacher who prayed for the principal. In the midst of all this is Madeline Murray, with a vile nature. Everyone said how vile she was, and both of them said how vile she was. And that biology teacher was the one during prayer time of everybody else in the school that she was assigned to sit with Bill Murray, her son. And he was of a mind to be able, he'd do anything that he could in order to rev up his mother and get back at her for something. The family dynamic was rotten as well. But what happened out of all that was is that I saw Dorothy Duvall get baptized when she was 80-some years old. And after she died and I was asked to do her funeral, I said to the biology teacher, whom I knew, I said, have you ever thought about opening this whole story up so that people, other Christians even, that you could be interviewed by people and it could be taped and brought as an encouragement? Because as a result of that biology teacher's prayers, the principal, God used that for the principal to come to faith, because the principal was mystified that on the day of the Supreme Court arguments, that was the day in the 1950s when they didn't have many sit-ins or arguments too much in those days, where there were public demonstrations of things. There was only one pastor who was the biology teacher's pastor who sat in the audience that day. That so moved Dorothy Duvall as principal to think, where are the other ones? Why aren't there a tremendous amount of Christians if it's so important to them? But then God worked in her life so she recognized what the importance was, who the true God was, and how even though that Supreme Court decision, yes, did limit prayer and prohibit prayer in public school, that What was important was how God was working in her life. Yeah, she may have been given that way to see, well, what about that guy? And not thinking about herself, but thinking about somebody else. When God focused on her, his protective care, how he was working to sustain her, and how he was providing for her. And so therefore, that really shows, and showed me particularly at that time, how God can change somebody's life in ways that we never thought possible, and care for us in ways that we had not experienced previously. And so she began to sense the care of God and really have a joy in her life. And her face would light up when I would go to do a Bible study and where she was living, and to see the response that that had in her life. Because when we go through these scriptures, we go to really in John chapter 10, where Jesus then says, I am the good shepherd, and I'm laying down my life for my sheep. They know me, and I know them. And he admits that there are sheep who are not of this fold, but I'm bringing those to seek and to save those who are not part of understanding me, that then he, through the work of his Spirit on the heart and lives of people, then brought people so that they would understand Yahweh, that they then would understand the fact that what Yahweh does is what we need. We need a God who's going to give us emotional and spiritual rest. We need a God, as the 23rd Psalm and these other passages speak about, who is going to do a search and rescue mission to bring us and those for whom we pray to see how he'll work in order to change us to be like him. So that therefore we then realize we need someone to leave us. We're not independent of God. We're very much dependent on him, and he has arranged for us to be dependent on him. So that then we will follow him and delight in the fact that there is this spiritual provision that he's continuing to give to us in all kinds of circumstances. And then there's victory. There's the celebration. If God is with us, who can stand against us? If God is the one who is working in our hearts and in our minds to be amazed and in wonder of the majesty of God, and to be amazed and to come to realize the greatness of the work that he does in our lives, so that therefore there is this celebration of life, that yes, there is this picture of a table set out in the presence of our enemies, the ones that God has made us victorious over, the ones who were the bullies who would have their muddy feet step in the drinking water. But then God is the one who provides for us this wonderful opportunity to celebrate victory of what Jesus has done for us, enabling us to be a part of that celebration as we realize his giving of his life for us and to provide for us in ways that we need to be sacrificially loved. Jesus, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, when he has all these people coming to him for one reason or another, and Matthew records that Jesus then, and no doubt he's tired. That's the reason why he goes up to the mountainside to pray at various times, just to be by himself, to regroup. God ministers to him, sometimes sends an angel to minister to him. But then what is great is the fact that when then he comes down. What motivates him? And that's the fact that the text says he had compassion on those who were like sheep who had no shepherd. It's a horrible situation to be in. So easy to overlook in our daily lives, but oh, so important as he gives us this ability that once we come to him and follow him, we see him ministering, we see him giving, we see him spiritually doing what he protects people. But then he gives you and me this opportunity when we trust in him to see, well, how is God going to use me today? How is he going to wow me today with a variety of things, even if it's a sustaining grace in the midst of the hubbub of life? But how is he going to provide for me a peace of mind, a peace of heart, which not only is restful, but it's motivational to see him at work in providing the needs that we have.